Be seated. Y'all sound so good. I know y'all can sing, and I'm grateful to hear you sing. Well, Merry Christmas to all of you. Merry Christmas. On behalf of Darla and I, Merry Christmas. And on behalf of all the staff here at Curry Creek, Merry Christmas. And we're glad y'all are here. This is our third Advent service, Christmas Eve service, I should say, of the day. And boy, the first two were super well attended, and this is super well attended as well. And so we're glad y'all are here. The first two services, we just had to send people to overflow, and it filled up before the service even started. So obviously, you enjoy Christmas Eve services. Curry Creek was small and younger and smaller, we tried to have a Christmas Eve service, and quite frankly, it just didn't go over very well. And so we thought, well, that didn't work. And then as we began to grow and started reintroduced it, and it's just taken off. And I'm telling y'all that to say we are flattered. We are grateful that you take time out of your family time to be with us, and we appreciate that. We appreciate y'all spending time with your own family, and family can be a challenge at Christmas. But here's the good news. Look around. These are the people you're going to spend eternity with. And that can be, thank you, Jesus, or it can be, oh, help me, Lord Jesus. But in heaven, we'll be sinless. So it'll all work out. In fact, it'll be great. We're glad y'all are with us. Tonight, I just want to share a brief message with you. And it's once again out of God's word. And y'all are familiar with the story. You know it. It's Luke chapter 2. In the same region, there were shepherds watching over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good news, which will be a great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then the angel is joined by a heavenly host skyline to skyline, from horizon to horizon. I can imagine it, the sky lit up as heaven opens up and that which is temporal encounters that which is eternal. And I'm sure it was an incredible night. And the angels are praising God, and then they all go back into heaven, and the heaven shuts up, the shepherds look at one another and say, "Hey, let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has told us about." So they go, and guess what? They find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, just as they had been told. And as they communicated this, everybody that was there wondered. The Bible says that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. And then the shepherds go away praising God for all that he had done and revealed to them. It's this incredibly familiar story that we are always looking toward at Christmas. And so today I want us to remember those things, but I want us to look again. The first look that we run across here in this text or in this passage, this story, is the look of surprise. These are working class shepherd guys. It's dark and an angel shows up. And that's out of the norm for me. I don't know if it's out of the norm for you, but it's never happened. And so they were surprised to see this angel, so much so that they began to be fearful. But the first response that we see of heaven breaking in on mankind is one of surprise. Now, those of you that have young children, or those of you that remember having young children, you remember what it's like when the very first time you light up the Christmas tree. Now, I don't know about y'all, but the freeze when we do Christmas is, because of our allergies, we don't do natural trees anymore. So we do the kind you stack together, they unfold, you plug it in, and ba-boom, you got Christmas, right? So that's the kind of tree we have. I don't think I'd turned it on other than to make sure it worked. And it, inevitably, some of the lights are out, and so you turn that to the corner so nobody has to see it, right? So our grandson comes over. He's 18 months old. So this was about a month ago. I'd set up the tree early. He's always kind of shy when he comes in, kind of getting to know the lay of the land. So I told him, "Hey, John Walker, look at this." And I hit the button. I went and punched the button, and the tree lights up. And y'all know the look that happens in a kid's eyes, right? It's like, it's that surprise Because number one, there's a tree in the house. Number two, it's got bulbs on it that work. And so it just light happens and there's a surprise. Well, the second look of the shepherds was one of wonder. From horizon to horizon, not one angel, but a heavenly host. That which is eternal is revealed to that which is temporal. And the heavenly host is proclaiming the glories and the excellencies of the God that they worship. And all of a sudden, it went from surprise or astonishment to wonder. This concept that is deeper and more significant than surprise. And we see it in our kids, right? So after that initial astonishment and surprise, the little kids, they want to go to the tree and they want to look at it from the top to the bottom, and they want to see the lights, and if there's ornaments, the ornaments, and they want to discover that their mind is overwhelmed with everything that they're seeing. So the shepherds looked, and it was a look of surprise, and then they looked again, and it was a look of wonder. And then the third look was a look of faith. They believed the angelic message. They believed the heavenly record. And so they conspired together to go into the city of David and see this thing that the God of the heavens had talked to them about. And they went and they found the baby just as it had been said. They responded in faith. So there's a look of surprise, a look of wonder, and then a look of faith. May I submit to you that in a lot of ways, that's exactly our experience with the Lord. There's a look and another look and a third look, and we can categorize or we can characterize our own walk with the Lord in a lot of the same ways. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, really did a phenomenal job of wrapping up that experience. If you're not familiar with Pilgrim's Progress, it's an allegorical tale of a character by the name of Christian who is trying to make his way to the celestial city, and he has different companions, some good, some not so good along the way. And Christian is trying to make his way to the celestial city, but if you know the story, you know that Christian always has a burden on his back. There's a picture of it. So everywhere Christian goes, he's got this heavy burden on his back and he can't shed it. It's encumbering him. But as the story unfolds, Christian comes upon a small hill. And upon that small hill, on the top of it is a cross. And to his great surprise, as Christian ascends the hill and looks upon the cross, the burden that was on him falls off his back, and Bunyan writes that it rolls down the hill and into a stone sepulcher, never to be seen again. What an incredible picture of the sin that is ours that weighs us down, that Christ in his cross removes from us, takes it into the sepulcher of death to where it is done away with and we never have to carry it again. It's that look of surprise. In fact, Bunyan, commenting on the text that he wrote, said, it is that surprise in Christian's experience that is so similar to ours. But surprise is not enough. We have to move from surprise to this whole idea of wonder, something that moves beyond that initial, that takes our breath away to something that is deeper and more significant. It's the look of wonder. F.W. Borum wrote this: "Wonder follows naturally upon surprise. Wonder cannot come to its own as long as surprise is present. Wonder is far greater than surprise. Surprise is fleeting. It evaporates quickly. Wonder remains. It is abiding. It is permanent." There's this initial response of, "Oh, sweet Jesus, thank you for removing my sin." But the initial surprise has to be taken over by this deeper sense of wonder. It's not enough to glance or to look at the cross once. We have to look and then we look again. I'm no longer surprised in my life to see baby calves born in the spring, something that I've observed since I was about 7 or 8 years old. Every spring we had calves, and it was a sense of surprise to me. And I'm no longer surprised by calves in the spring because I know what happens when you put the bull with the cows 280 days prior to the calves arriving. But nevertheless, it doesn't stop the sense of wonder to see a calf born. and a calf nurse and a calf walk and a calf frolic just because it can. It bawls and its mama responds with a bawl. And that sense of wonder never, ever leaves us. And I think sometimes that we as adults, we lose our sense of wonder because we glance at the cross and we experience the burden rolling off of us into that tomb of forgetfulness. And we never move from that to the wonder of the cross where we're continually overwhelmed with gratitude that I was a sinner and I've been saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And the wonder of the cross never loses its appeal, its allure, or its power. In our adult-like wonder that ought to move the emotions and challenge the mind, and it ought to satisfy the longing of our soul. I hope this Christmas that you experience not only the surprise of the cross, but also the wonder of the cross. The last look of Christian, according to Bunyan, was the look of faith. So he comes to the cross and is there in this timid or very pensive appeal to the cross. He loses his burden. Then he begins to look at wonder at all that God had accomplished in Christ as a result of the cross. But ultimately that look of faith where it is no longer a passing glance, but it must be an intentional gaze that overwhelms us. And that's really where this is going tonight, an intentional gaze. You can't walk into the Academy Gallery in Florence, Italy, without confronting Michelangelo's David. And I had seen it in pictures. I had studied it in school, but it's not the same as being there. And it's a long hall. This is big open. It's a long one. As you walk in and you look, here's what caught my mind. Everybody in the room doesn't walk in and go, oh, yeah, there's David, and then move on. They go in and they go, that's Michelangelo's David. And they approach it, and they look at it, and then they go to this side and look at it. They go to the back side and look at it. They go to the other side, and the closer they can get, the more that they can observe it, the more they do. See, a passing glance will not do with Michelangelo's David. Or you go to the Night Watch and look at Rembrandt's portrayal of that incredible scene in the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, and the sheer size, the sheer scope of the painting. It's like the size of a screen or larger. And you go, great day, this thing is magnificent. The great Dutch masters and all of their paintings, it's overwhelming. But you can't take it all in with a glance. You can't go to the Grand Canyon and go, oh, there's a big hole in the ground. Let's go, kids. You sit there and you try to take it in, and the more you look, the more you see, and the more you see, the more you ponder, and the more you ponder, the more it moves you to wonder. A horse at full charge, or the unbelievably sweet lines of a 1961 E-Type Jaguar coupe. No matter where you look, it's like that's satisfying. And the more you look, the more you see, and the more you see, the more you wonder. And all of that should move us to gaze at the cross of Christ intentionally, deliberately, with a keen focus. If we intuitively do these things with works of art and wonders of nature and things built by man, how much more so the incomparable cross of Christ? That fills our eyes with wonder and surprise, but beyond that, faith. That no matter where I am in life, no matter where I am in my walk with the Lord, whether it's deep and rich or whether it's shallow, whether it is a period in your life where you're walking in joy of the Lord or whether you feel very distant from Him, I want you to look and look and look again and go through that process of realizing that it is just as surprising as it was the day I was there, that it has moved me to wonder, but it also moves me to faith because we know this. We can hear the story iterated and reiterated over and over again. We can hear it as a child. In fact, it can be the most repeated story we've ever heard, and it can be common to every child, every woman, and every man in this room that we know the familiar story of Jesus and his suffering, of Jesus and his cross, of Jesus and his resurrection. We can hear it over and over again, but we intuitively know this. It's radically different to watch a Hallmark movie and fall in love yourself. Why do we even watch Hallmark movies? Because happy wife, happy life. That's why. Is anybody in the room surprised at the ending of a Hallmark movie? Nobody. See, we can watch it. We can be moved to the emotions that we experience when we watch a Hallmark movie. Oh, that was sweet. But isn't that radically different than falling in love yourself? And the answer, man, is yes, it is radically different, John. It's so much better than the movie. See, if we're not careful, all we do is we become so familiar with the story, we become so familiar with the way the story ends, rather than immersing ourselves in the story. So we can be surprised by the cross, and we can look with wonder at the accomplishments of the cross, but until we respond in faith personally to the cross, we miss out. And so whether you're old or middle-aged or very young, I want you to look and look and look again at the cross. And may it satisfy your eye, may it fulfill the longings of your heart, and may it release you of the burden of your sin. I want to pray, and then we're going to light, and then pass the Christ candle. All of you should have a candle in your seat. We're going to take the flame from the Christ candle, and we're going to pass it to you, and I want you to pass it to one another and make sure you pass it behind you as well. And then we're going to sing Silent Night together. It'll be a sweet time. After that, I'll come back up. We'll extinguish our candles, and we'll conclude the rest of our time together. I want this to be a sweet time for you. I want it to be a time of reflection as you look and look and look again at the wonder and faith and surprise of Christ. Let's pray, and then we'll pass the Christ candle. Father, thank you for the church that is Curry Creek. Lord, would your Holy Spirit rain blessings upon each of them. May this Advent season be a springboard for, Father, a ever-growing and deeper relationship with you. Lord, we pray these things, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.